your knights are in another castle. All your base are belong to us. It's dangerous to go alone. Listen to this. The Knights of the Game Table Podcast.
This is the Knights of the Game Table Podcast. I am your host, Queso Bandito, also known as Marcus. On this episode, we have the man, the one, the only, Daniel Slade.
Hey.
On this episode, we're going to be discussing consoles and video games. Yay!
Yay! So, Queso, aka Marcus, what type of helium tank have you been sucking on?
Yes.
Okay, I'm back.
So, consoles, huh?
Yes. So, I was recently enlightened as to which console I prefer. So, yeah.
So, for those of you who didn't listen to the Temple of Geek podcast, episode 32, out now, I gave a little teaser that Marcus switched to the dark side and decided to go ahead and purchase an Xbox One.
I did. It was sort of
but
spur
Marcus
of the moment
is telling
for me
that he has complaints about this system. So, today's episode, we are going to basically describe the pros and cons of the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, and we're going to reign supreme the best console ever. We all know it's the Wii U. So, without further ado, let's do this.
It's the Game Gear. So, let's just go ahead and get into it. Let's get into it, man.
So you have both systems.
I have them both now.
I have two systems myself. One of them is not a PlayStation.
No, well, I mean, you at least got the PS3.
I was referring to the Wii U. I love my Xbox. I've been an Xbox fan ever since the Xbox 360. Xbox One has been a great system to me. My biggest complaint about the Xbox One is the download and the install speeds. How long it takes to actually install a disc. Because you can't just pop a disc into the tray and play a game. No, you have to actually install the game, wait about 6 months, take out a second mortgage on your house, pay off a couple bills, perk a cup of coffee, and once all that's done, your game's ready to play.
It's awful. That is probably absolutely my number one complaint. Downloading and installing games. It's huge. The fact that you had to put in the disc and then immediately have to install the game and then probably subsequently an update, it's just so painful. And you know, it's not like where, and I'm going to go ahead and say that you don't have this problem on the PS4. You pop in the disc and you start playing the game. And there potentially is an update. And there usually is for every game that gets released where there's an update and you got to update the game. Well, I mean, you don't have to update the game. You can skip the update and start playing the game.
Now, with the PlayStation 4, can you play online if you skip the update?
Probably
because
not.
You can't with the Xbox.
Yeah, you probably can't because that's probably where a lot of the online balancing comes from is those updates and stuff. But still, I'd say at least you can get into the game. So let's say if you're buying Uncharted, you know, Uncharted isn't really known for its multiplayer, it's for the story. So, you know, if you want to, say, go out and buy Batman Arkham Knight today and put it into your console and you want to immediately start playing, that's where you want to go, is the PS4.
Now, I will tell you this. Ever since I've added a USB hard drive to my system, not only have I gotten the added benefit of having a 4 terabytes worth of space, but I've also gotten kind of a speed boost, I would say. It installs games a lot quicker than it did installing it to the local drive.
I think, I don't know for sure, and I haven't looked at the specs on the Xbox One, whether it be the 500 gig or the 1 terabyte version, or any other version like the Call of Duty or whatever, Halo, I don't care. I think Microsoft ships those with 5,400 RPM drives, which may sound like a bunch of jibber-jabber to most of you. What that really comes down to is...
It's a very slow drive.
Yes, a very slow disk drive. And so that's why I think probably if you are connecting with USB 3.0 and you're connecting to even a regular 7,200 RPM drive over USB 3.0, you'll see a speed increase as far as disk read and write speed.
So, what? How do you feel about the Xbox? If we put that part behind you, how do you feel about the system? Do you like the system? Have you tried out all of its features yet? Xbox to Windows 10 play streaming.
I did try that, and I'm actually remarkably impressed with the in-home streaming.
I love it.
It even does better to me than the Steam in-home streaming.
Really?
Yes.
And you're a big Steam fan.
I am an absolutely big Steam fan. Hundreds of games on there, and the biggest complaint I got about that, you know, they bragged, oh yeah, we're going to come out with in-home streaming, so that way you can play on all of these, you know, you can play on a crappy computer, and all you need is one beefy computer to be able to play these things, and it all sounded great. And then when you used it, if you played a game where, reflexes mattered, like, I don't know, like in a car game or something, you'd have a delay between, you know, you turning your car and the car actually turning in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that it was just basically there was a delay between the video and your input. So there's that big problem. And then the Xbox totally gets it right the first time too. Whereas as soon as you start streaming, your actions are set instantly to your Xbox. I don't know how they do it so well, but they do.
Yeah, so I think the first time you experienced that was actually over here when we played Batman Arkham Knight streaming to my computer.
I was extremely skeptical.
Using, I might add, an Xbox 360 controller.
Yeah.
Playing an Xbox One game.
Actually, so that's another thing is I was streaming I was playing Conker's Bad Fur Day on my computer, and so whenever you use your computer, you have to use a controller that's compatible with the computer. So usually people are plugging in 360 controllers because the wired 360 controllers are starting to become somewhat of a standard as far as like a computer controller.
Uh-huh.
So I actually started using a program, what is it called? DS4. Where you plug in a PS4 controller and it programs your PS4 controller to work as a 360 controller. Okay. So all the buttons work, and then the only difference is the touchpad, and then you can use the touchpad to move your mouse, which is kind of cool.
Okay, sounds cool.
So that's where the benefit really comes in for me as far as streaming to the PC, is that I get to use my PS4 controller on an Xbox One because I don't like the Xbox One controller. It, hands down, I thought the Xbox 360 controller was absolutely fantastic. And the PS3 controller sucks, but now that we're in this new generation, I absolutely love the PS4 controller and I hate the Xbox One controller.
And see, I'm not a PlayStation. I don't own the PlayStation 4. I've only used the PS4 controller just a couple times, and the couple times I've held it, I do not like that controller.
And
now, maybe it'll be different once I own the system and, you know, play a lot more games on it, but right now I cannot stand that controller. And it's probably because I got used to the way the Xbox One controller feels my hands.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm pretty sure it's just holding it in your hands. Like, because whenever I hold a PS3 controller now, my hands actually start to hurt from the way I'm used to gripping controllers now. So, it's pretty weird.
So, between the two systems, the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, how do you feel about the interfaces? Which interface do you like better?
Interfaces? I don't really think I think they evenly both have some pros and cons about them that make them evenly easy and difficult to use.
What I like about the Xbox One is I'm kind of a Microsoft fanboy when it comes to PCs. I love the Windows 8 interface, the way the apps screen is, the way it looks. Now, the way it functions, that's a whole different story. But the way it looks is amazing. And when they incorporated that into the Xbox, I was really impressed. So I really like the way that they're trying to make their gaming systems and their home computing systems and their tablets and their phones all have a very similar type of interface. So when you pick up one of those devices, you already know what to expect and pretty much how to use it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one thing I do enjoy about the interface of the Xbox One. Now, I did, you know, I have seen the PlayStation 4 interface. It's very similar, I mean, with, of course, graphical tweaks and, you know, relocation of buttons and stuff. But it's very similar to the way the PlayStation 3 was, which wasn't a bad interface.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like really impressed with the way Microsoft just streamlined the way the look and feel across all their products, including the Xbox.
I think at first use, having never touched a PS4 or an Xbox One, you're probably going to be more familiar, or it may be easier to use an Xbox One interface than it is a PS4. I know with the PS4 one, the main problem I had was trying to figure out, it seems stupid because there's a button for it and it's like right there, but how to get into the store.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, it just, at first it all didn't really make sense to me. You have to go up and then switch to the different tab or button or whatever, and then you can go down and go into whatever details they have inside that tab, and then, but you have to go back up and switch, and I don't know, it just got extremely confusing to me. What first, coming out of the box, not seeing the interface before, that's the problem I have with the PS4.
Yeah, they did the same thing on the Xbox. With the 360, you actually had, you know, they tried to do the whole Windows 8 theme looking thing with the 360.
Yeah.
And the second set of cubes or whatever was usually like your storefront, like you go into your... You go into like the game section, and in there you can actually go into the storefront right there for the games. Well, I was expecting something very similar to that when I purchased my Xbox One, and I'm like, where the hell's the store? And I found out that you have to actually go into your My Games and Apps section of the Xbox, scroll all the way over to the right.
To the right, yeah.
And then there's this section called Browse the Store. So that kind of threw me off when I first purchased the system, because I had no idea how to get into the store.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... I had a similar experience, but I was able to find the store faster on the Xbox One than I did on the PS4. So, yeah.
So, between the two systems, graphically, which one do you think is better? We know spec-wise, the PS4 is probably better.
Yeah.
But do you really notice a difference between the two? Like, I know you're a graphical guy. You love to have the most prettiest and baddest-ass graphics ever.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go ahead and say I haven't done any side-by-side comparisons. I mean, but I have seen a bunch of different photos comparing the same game on, like, a 360, PS3, Xbox One, PS4, and a PC. And, I don't know, I honestly don't see that big of a difference between Xbox One and PS4. Like, to the naked eye, I don't think you're going to notice a difference between either one of them.
Yeah, there's so minute details.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There is a difference, and I'm sure there's somebody out there that's going to say, oh, there's definitely a difference. And I agree with you, there is a difference.
You guys are wrong. I can see it.
I agree with you, there's a difference. And it's another reason for me to brag that I like my PS4 is because usually games are released on a higher resolution on the PS4, but not a full 1080. But anyway, so like I said, it's just, it's really minor. It's hard to notice.
Now, your one big complaint in previous episodes has been the exclusives on each system, and you were very upset that Rise of the Tomb Raider was coming out on Xbox One. Now you own the system.
Yep.
Will you shut up about that?
Actually, I did some reading on Rise of the Tomb Raider, and I heard that they're going to release it on everything, but then I also heard that, you know, it's coming out, you know, this holiday season, and it's only going to be released on the Xbox One. After doing some research, I found out that it is a limited time exclusive release.
Meaning like the first 6 months or whatever it's going to be on,
yeah,
Xbox One, so and then they'll release
pretty
it everywhere
much
else.
They'll own it during the holiday season. They'll make a bunch of bank off of it, and then whatever, I can't remember who makes that game, but whatever they decide to do with it is up to them, which is...
Isn't it Eidos? No, not Eidos, but Square Enix?
No. I'm totally blanking on it.
I know Eidos used to make it, right? I can't remember anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Besides the point.
Anyway.
If you know who we're talking about, just comment and call us idiots in the comment section. We're okay.
Square Enix. Okay, I just looked it up. So,
okay, I thought it was Square.
Yeah, so what I read that it's, you know, it's whatever they decide they're going to do with it afterward, which is, of course, they're going to open it up to the PS4.
And you know when they open it up, they're going to open it up with probably all the DLC and everything else. So my question to you is, are you going to buy it in December on the Xbox One now that you own this system? Because I know you're a big, huge fan of this game. Or are you going to wait to get it on the system that you really care about?
I'm going to get it on the on the Xbox One, honestly. I want to play it right now.
And then he goes, and 6 months later, I'll probably get it on the PS4.
Actually, I'm not sure. I might. You know, the same thing happened with Grand Theft Auto V. It got released on first-gen consoles. I bought it on the PS3. And then they got released on the next-gen consoles, so I bought it on the PS4. And then they got released on PC, so I bought it on PC also.
See, I only have the Xbox 360 version. I have never played it, but I have it.
I thoroughly enjoyed that game. I picked it up
at a garage sale for $10.
I thoroughly enjoyed that game. Loved it. But anyway, so is there any other way we can break down the...
I think I've covered everything. We talked about the controller. We talked about the interface. We talked about the graphics. We talked about the loading speeds and the gameplay. So let me hear your verdict. If you were to be stuck on a desert island and you had to choose between one of the two systems, which I already know this is going to be a biased thing, and it's not really a fair thing because you only have two games on the system, but which game system would you want to be stuck on a stranded island with?
Hands down, the PS4. Just hands down the PS4, dude. And the biggest thing for me is the downloading and installing games. That is just so annoying. And it just wouldn't be so bad if it would let you use your entire bandwidth when downloading a game.
Yeah, I will tell you this. I'm part of the preview program for Xbox.
Yeah,
and every week
there's a new update.
New update that has to come out that has to go for the preview program, and I'm just like, do I want to continue doing this?
So you can't do anything until you put in the update either, so it's like, it's frustrating.
I mean, it's only worth it to me because I could do the Xbox 360 backwards compatibility, which is coming out very soon, the update. I believe it's in November. So in November, your Xbox One will be able to play about 100 Xbox 360 games.
About 100. Wow.
So right now I can only play like a handful, which I got most of them. Most of the ones that I got now came with my Rare Replay. But I also had like Toy Soldiers, the first Toy Soldiers, World of Keflings, Mass Effect, and a couple other games that I was able to download onto my 360 or my Xbox One. And you know, I did actually boot up with Mass Effect. I actually booted up my Xbox One and my Xbox 360, and I played both games to the certain part where it was like really heavy with the graphics and stuff, and I flipped back and forth between my two screens, and I was watching the game, and I could not tell the difference between the two. There was no lag time. There was no graphical issues. I mean, so the Xbox One, I feel, can render those 360 games like perfectly, and it's all software based. It has nothing to do, there's nothing on the hardware that's rendering it. It's all like it's like an emulator. So kudos to Microsoft for figuring out how to do that. Because they said it could not be done and they pulled it off.
Nah, I think it was always an option.
I don't know, dude. They're pulling it off, and basically any game can be ported over. The publisher just has to agree to it. They just have to say, yeah, we want it ported over. And then, bam, they got more money being made off of that game. So, you know, because of downloads or whatever. Yeah. So I'm hoping at least 90% of my Xbox 360 library gets ported over, because that would be nice. Especially like South Park, because I want to play that again one more time before the new one comes out. I always want to, you know, I'm looking forward to that fractured butthole.
Fractured butthole. Amazing. So, speaking of, there's quite a few games coming out this holiday season, and I wanted to talk about them.
First one that came out today.
Super Mario Maker.
Super Mario Maker, and I do not own it. But I will, and I promise you, when I own it, I will record as much video gameplay of that game as I can and be posting my play or Let's Plays and things like that. That game is amazing.
I actually am definitely looking forward to playing that.
I've been watching so many videos on it, just the different stages. What's amazing about this game is that there's so many different like ways to build a stage, play a stage, whatever. And, I mean, it's like it's going to be a different game every time I turn it on.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's what's going to be amazing to me. The second thing I liked was Shigeru Miyamoto, the creator of the father of Mario. He made this video today where he did say that there are no stages in this game that he has created personally, but they are going to be releasing some. So we will have some Miyamoto Mario, true Miyamoto stages in Mario Maker in the next coming months or whatever. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, just everything I've read about the game and seen on the game so far, I've been trying to keep some of the spoilers because I know there's some hidden gems in the game, and I've been trying to keep that stuff secret because I want to, you know, find that out myself. But yeah, the game looks amazing, and I cannot wait to play it. And it came out today, and I'm sad.
I did see somebody playing it on YouTube Gaming, the new streaming service. And it definitely looks extremely interesting. It's because they're mixing all the elements of everything that has been Mario over the last however long Mario's been out.
30 years.
30 this years.
Is the 30th anniversary.
So it's basically like mixing all 30 years of Mario into all of these levels that can be created into basically whatever element from those of the past 30 years. It's, I don't know, it's pretty unbelievable.
One thing that's really impressive about the game is, like, when you're playing, like, a Mario stage, you can play it in either Super Mario, Super Mario 3, Super Mario World, or New Super Mario graphics. You can change the stage on the fly, depending on what you want it. What's cool about that is there's been, like, elements in the games, like ghost houses and stuff in Super Mario World that wasn't in the original Super Mario Brothers. So watching those graphics be converted down to an 8-bit scale graphics and seeing things that you never really seen in an original Mario game, it's just really cool to see, finally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really cool. I'm super excited about this game. It's probably going to be one of those games that I will not put down for a long time because there's just so much to do in the game. And you're like, look at the stages I created. I'm a god.
Well, I'm sure it doesn't need to be said, but that game is only on the Wii U, and it came out today. So today as in September 11th.
And I'm sad.
So... another game I know that you're excited about, and we've already talked Forza about 6? It. Forza 6? Actually, I am going to get to that. But I was going to bring up Battlefront.
Oh, yeah, Battlefront. Yeah, let's talk about Battlefront.
So, Battlefront, that's coming out on November 17th on Xbox One, PS4, and the PC.
Yep.
So, how excited are you on a scale of 1 to super excited?
I don't think there's a word to describe how excited I am to jump back into the Star Wars universe and get myself, you know, accustomed to the universe again, make myself, you know, feel like I understand the universe one more time, understand the characters and stuff right before the movie comes out. So, I mean, releasing this game at least a month before the movie is like the best thing they could do for the franchise, because it's going to get people hyped. The game looks amazing. There's so much stuff you could do in the game. It's a first-person shooter. It's a third-person shooter. It's a vehicle. It's just so many things you could do in that game. Flight simulator.
It is. It's definitely like a Star Wars version of Battlefield.
It's a Star Wars version of heaven. Like, if I was to die right now, my heaven would be Battlefront. Yes, I'm really excited. Now, my only dilemma is, will I have a PS4 by the time that comes out? Probably not, so I'll probably get it for the Xbox One.
Oh, so you are looking to get a PS4?
Eventually, yes. I need to go ahead and complete the triage. I mean, trio. Triage, trio, trio.
Trio?
Yes. I have pretty much, since the Super Nintendo days, have owned almost every single console in the console wars. So, you know, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. Then it was the Nintendo 64, PlayStation, Sega Saturn. And then it was the Sega Dreamcast, PlayStation 2, GameCube, Xbox. And then it was Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and the Wii. And now it's Wii U, Xbox One, and I just need to get my PS4.
Wow.
But yeah, I've tried to keep tried to stay impartial in the console wars.
Well, you know, what you should get is the $450 Star Wars limited edition PlayStation 4.
Black PlayStation 4 with Darth Vader's mug etched on it.
So there's no Xbox One limited edition Star Wars console, as far as I know. There's only a PS4 one.
So. Now, I will tell you, that controller looks amazing.
Yeah, dude. It's like...
just the color scheme on it.
Yeah,
so,
black, white, red.
To describe what I'm looking at, it's a black controller. It's a black PlayStation controller with the touchpad with the word Star Wars on the touchpad. The D-pad is in red, with the left buttons being in red. The blue shoulder buttons, or the shoulder buttons on the right, are in blue. And then the face buttons are triangle, square, X, or white, and then the circle button's red. It's just kind of a... just kind of a cool mix of colors, and it looks like it's a joystick or a control pad for one of the ships in the game. Like, red is the fire, blue is for your torpedoes, and it's just
on the background from Darth Vader's head, it says Star Wars etched on the PS4.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah, that looks extremely cool, man. Holy crap.
And apparently, if you buy the game, you get a voucher for 4 games, Star Wars Classics on PS4. Looks like Super Star Wars from Super Nintendo, Star Wars Jedi Fighter, Star Wars Bounty Hunter, and Star Wars Episode 1 Pod Racer, which I will add that is one of the best kart games ever made.
Wow. Actually, I think I remember playing that on the Nintendo 64.
Not to be confused with Super Bombad Racing, because Super Bombad Racing sucked. But Episode 1 Pod Racer was an amazing game.
Wow.
Especially if you owned a Dreamcast. It was beautiful on a Dreamcast.
Nice.
So, but yes, that special edition system looks amazing.
That also comes out on November 11th with the game. So if anybody is looking to get it, get your pre-orders in now.
Now, the cool thing is about that special edition PS4
yeah.
is it's coming out for Battlefront. It also is coming out for the Disney Infinity. So you can either get it packed with Disney Infinity 3, the Star Wars edition, or Battlefront.
Huh. Nice. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, they also have a version of the, like, they just sell the PlayStation with the game. That's $400. So...
a little more my speed, but the extra $50 comes with an extra controller, so it might be worth it.
That needs to be another thing that we talk about as far as the controllers between the Xbox One and the PS4.
Uh-huh.
The Xbox One, all of their controllers are, you have to put batteries in them, or you have to buy the controller that comes with the charger.
Well, you can buy a charge pack.
Right. So you can buy a charge pack too, which is an extra cost onto the already $60 of a new controller. Or, on the PS4, all the PS4 controllers are chargeable. Like, there's no battery pack that you take out. It's, you charge the controller. That's it.
Well, it's been like that since PS3, Xbox 360 days, too, because the PS3 controllers were rechargeable.
Yes.
Straight out the box.
Yeah.
And the Xbox 360 controllers, you had to buy a rechargeable.
I'm heavily surprised that the Xbox One is still using batteries and charge packs.
I can't explain why, what the reason is behind that. I know I have one controller that has the pack, which the pack this time, because when I had the 360 battery packs, they sucked. I mean, they were good probably for like maybe 5 or 6 charges, and after that, the battery started screwing up. Now, I may have just had bad luck with them, but I think I bought 2 or 3 of them, and I've just all of them have been the same way. 2, you know, maybe 10 charges, and then they stopped working. Mm. So I just kept using batteries. I have not had that problem with the Xbox One pack so far. I've charged it, I don't know, a good 50 times already since I've owned the system, and I haven't had any issues with it. But yes, I do agree. It does suck that you have to spend an additional $20 on top of what is it, a $50 controller already? So $70.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous.
I was like, why'd I gotta spend another set of money? Because I mean, I was getting it all at the same time. I bought a console, the controller, and I bought the Rare Replay, and yeah, I was like, yeah, let me go pick up another controller. And then I was like, oh, wait, they have, or you can get a controller, or you can get a controller with a charge pack. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and probably pick up a second charge pack eventually, just so I can have both my controllers rechargeable.
Yeah, same here.
But what other games are coming out?
Let's see, we got Rise of the Tomb Raider. I'm I cannot wait for this game. I know we already talked about it, but I mean, it's coming out November 10th. So we were just a couple months away, and like I said before, it is limited to the Xbox One, and it's probably going to be just through the end of the year, and Square Enix is probably, and this is all assumptions, of course, but Square Enix is probably going to open it up to the PS4 after that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they will. It's Square.
Yeah. I mean, although it's not like, you know, EA or somebody trying to make money off of me. But, you know, another game I'm really excited about, I am super excited about, one of the biggest reasons I bought an Xbox One is Forza 6.
Forza 6!
Now, and like, I'm sure there's a lot of people who bought an Xbox One, and I think Forza 5 was coming for free with it for a while or something. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know. I thoroughly enjoy the Forza games. I didn't get to play Forza 5 because I didn't buy an Xbox One until now. But I played the crap out of Forza 4. It just is a really well-done driving simulator. And of course,
so how does it rate next to, like, Gran Turismo?
Gran Turismo, they both have their draws. Because I also really like Gran Turismo too, so I'm not going to knock on one and say one of them's better, but like Gran Turismo, I thought that game did really well as far as the handling. It seemed more realistic, and of course I was using a controller. I don't really like the steering wheels that are available for consoles. So, but and then when it comes to Forza, It does actually still do really well with the handling, but it's not as good to me as Gran Turismo, but it does extremely well with customization. You can swap out engines, and you can do it. The customizing is more in depth in Forza than it is on Gran Turismo. So that's a big thing for me. Dude. Star Fox Zero this year.
Star Fox Zero comes out on November 20th, which is the same day that Netflix is going to release Jessica Jones, which we will talk about on a Temple of Geek podcast. This is not the place.
You heard it here first.
I
will tell you,
I am excited. But Star Fox Zero is coming out on the same day, and that is another game Nintendo has... That's a game that Nintendo has, you know, started off making a really good series, and then they kind of started making some crappy versions of the game. And I think this game is going to bring it back to its luster, bring it back to its glory that is Star Fox. And I'm really looking forward to this game. It's a prequel, a retelling of the original games of sorts. So it will be in my library. I'm not gonna lie. It's going to be in my library games. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's probably not going to be my favorite game of the year, but it's definitely going to be one that I'm looking forward to purchasing. You need to get a Wii U, man.
I mean, I just need something that'll really drag me in. Like, Forza 6 definitely dragged me in to the Xbox One. The Uncharted series is going to be re-released on October 9th on the PS4, because this is a PS4 exclusive, or a PlayStation exclusive. So I am thoroughly excited about this, because all of the Uncharted games have been fantastic. Actually, I think my roommate is in the next room right now playing Uncharted 2.
Which, I have Uncharted 1 and 2, have not played them yet. I do plan on playing those here pretty quickly. And, of course, Uncharted 3 I need to get. If I do ever get an Xbox, or I'm sorry, PS4, the Uncharted High Def Edition,
yeah,
Collector's Edition would be something I would like to pick up. Those games do look very appealing to me. I know I played demos of them before, and I always wanted to get a PS3 just for that game. So I know it's a game I want to play. I just have not played them yet.
They're definitely very strong stories. And really, they just contribute to the success that Naughty Dog has had over the last few years in their games, with the entire Uncharted series and The Last of Us. The Last of Us was also a very strong story-driven game, and it turned out extremely well.
Another game that I own that I have not played.
I think that's also a PlayStation exclusive, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it sucks, but what are you going to do?
Buy all the systems.
Yep. This is going to bring us back. Guitar Hero Live and Rock Band 4 are coming out. And Guitar Hero Live has been announced for October 20th, released on the old and next gen consoles, not to include the PC, but 360, PS3, PS4, and the Xbox One. Rock Band 4 is only coming out in the Xbox One and the PS4, and they don't have an official release date for this year. But what do you think, man?
It's kind of cool that the games are coming back, because, you know, they were fun games to play. I'm not going to lie. They're pretty addicting.
Yeah.
Now, I can't remember. They said, I could have swore it was Rock Band that was going to allow you to play your old instruments, but if you're saying that it's only exclusive on the next-gen consoles...
That's why I was...
I guess that's not the case. I guess it's going to be Guitar Hero Live that's going to be compatible with the old game controllers.
I think it's going to be... Well, I don't know. Okay, so the Guitar Hero Live is the one that's coming out with the new controller, the new guitar controller, where it's going to have like 3 on top and 3 on bottom.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I think it might be the Rock Band 4 that's going to have the backward compatibility with the old instruments. But, like, I don't know. Maybe they're referring to the mic and the mic and the drum set, or they might.
Well, actually, they're all USB.
Yeah,
I mean, you can buy them USB. So, I mean, maybe they can plug into the USB ports and work.
I know for sure the mic will play on anything.
Yeah,
like
the mic's a mic.
I've played it on. I played it on all of the Rock Bands on 360, and I played it on DJ Hero 2 on the PS3. So it's interesting. Anyway, I'm kind of looking forward to these coming back. I haven't really played the whole Guitar Hero or Rock Band in a while. I had a cookout the other day, and we played them, and I got addicted, and the closest thing I had was DJ Hero, and I started playing that for a couple weeks after that.
Yeah, is that the game where you were locked in your room, naked, crawling on the floor in the back corner after you beat it? Like, I need more.
I need more. I need my fix. Anyway, so the last game I wanted to talk about, I find hilarious and very interesting that it's even coming back out, is the Deadpool game. Coming out on Xbox One and PS4 November 17th.
Now, is it going to be the same game, or are they going to tweak it up a bit?
I honestly don't have any details as far as that. I just, honestly, I
is looked it a new it game?
And Well, I mean, like, I just looked it up and I saw that Deadpool is coming out on November 17th for both consoles. So it looks
I'm
like
sure they're
the
re-releasing
same,
it due to the movie.
It looks like the same game.
That's crazy.
And so yeah, and I think this is this has to do with like it being, I don't know how to describe it, re-released digitally, because it came back out on Steam last month, I think.
Yeah, for like $40 freaking.
Yeah, it's true, but and then I think it's just taken a while to come out on the PS4 and the Xbox One, due to, you know, the translation for the ports.
I mean, the game sucked. The gameplay was bad. I mean, it was just a bad game. But the story part of it and the guy who voiced Deadpool and just his the whole character of it, I mean, that was the best part of the game.
Absolutely.
I don't know if it's going to be worth for me spending, dropping $50, $60, however much it's going to be when it comes out on the next-gen console. I'll probably wait for it to be a used game or maybe drop down cheaper. But yes, it does. I never played it on the original console when it came out. I just watched videos of it. I would probably get it, but like I said, it's not one that I would have to get when it first comes out.
Yeah.
Because I don't pay first premium prices.
I don't know. I haven't really made a decision. I have played it, and you're right. It's much like, it's kind of like just an arcade game. It doesn't play well. It's just, you know, you shoot a bunch of stuff, and you know, but the story and the way Deadpool interacts with the person who's playing the game, Deadpool's conscience, everything about that portion of the game is hilarious, and it absolutely makes up for how terrible the game is.
And see, you need to actually read the comics, because that's how it is in the comics, too. He breaks the fourth wall all the time. He always talks to the reader.
Yeah.
That's just the character of Deadpool. But, yeah, I mean, that's what makes it great. And I'm sure it's being re-released because of the movie.
Yeah.
So they have to have some sort of tie-in. People are going to need to get their Deadpool fix.
So, I mean, it's a decent game. It has very mature humor, so beware that. But I guess if you have the $40 or $50 and you're looking for some entertainment, that's the way to go. So, do you have any games to talk about before we wrap it up?
No, we talked about the one, the only Super Mario Maker,
which came out today. Wow.
It's been out for a whole 12 hours and I just have not had the chance of owning it yet, but I will own it soon.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of Knights of the Game Table podcast. I want to thank Daniel for joining me on this episode. Stay tuned to thetempleofgeek.com for the next all new episode. And as always, thank you for listening.
Please follow us on Twitter at Temple of Geek. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Temple of Geek. And remember to visit thetempleofgeek.com, your one stop for all things geek. Congratulations! This story is a happy ending. Thank you.